Well, thank you, worship team, for leading us today. God is great, amen? And that was a great time of worship today, and singing those truths from Scripture about who God is. I'll go ahead and turn your Bibles to Colossians, and today is our last message in our series. And our series has been called Focusing on Jesus in a Blurry World. And I know that I feel it, and I'm assuming you feel it too. This really is a blurry world. There's all kinds of things moving in different paces, and it seems like nothing's nailed down these days. Everything is up in the air for grabs. But especially religiously, it's a blurry world. There's a lot of people in all kinds of different places who have all kinds of self-generated ideas about Jesus, which obscure the reality of his true nature. So that's why we dove in together to the book of Colossians, because it really clarifies the nature of Christ and how we are to respond to him. Now, if you remember at the beginning of this series, I showed you this eye chart, which is a good representation of how I used to physically see. Actually, that's quite clear. I used to see a lot worse than that. Now, some of you are probably in the same boat. You look at that eye chart, and without any corrective vision or corrective eyeglasses or contacts, it's like that eye chart, doctor, is very, very blurry. But back on January 9th, I told you I had LASIK eye surgery, and so that's been a huge blessing to me. I can see far, I can see near, at least this point in my life. And it's brought clarity, it's brought crispness to images. And so I went to the eye doctor about a month ago, and I got another checkup coming up. He said, I'm seeing 20/15 without any corrective eyewear, which is fantastic. But I use that as an analogy to help us see what the purpose of the book of Colossians is. And so now when I look at an eye chart, I can see that down the list even farther. But what I hope that we've done through the scriptures is to really clarify and to bring a crispness to our vision of who Jesus actually is. And then as we learned, especially in chapters 3 and 4, that it would result in how we actually live our lives. It would change our lives. All right? Now, something funny is happening right here. People are looking at the eye chart, and they're trying to see how far down they can get. That was an unintended effect, but maybe you're like, man, I really need to get to the doctor. So I hope that your vision is being clarified of Jesus, even if it's not on the eye chart, right? Now, my purpose today, and we've already let this out, is that our purpose today is to celebrate Jesus for who he is and what he's done for us. And to do that, we're going to take a look at the 7 times in the book of Colossians when thanksgiving is mentioned. And so let me walk us through that very quickly. So I want you to keep up. I'm going to mention the passages, so I want you to refer to them in your own Bible as I mention them here. So Colossians 1 verse 3 is the first time we see thanksgiving mentioned. It says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Okay, let's go to verse 11 and 12 there in chapter 1. The end of 11, it says, joyously, and then into verse 12, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now turn over to chapter 2, verse 7. It says, you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. All right, let's go to chapter 3, verse 15 now. At the end of that verse, you'll notice the command to be thankful. Then in verse 16, towards the end, it says, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And then one more in chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. So you see, 7 times in this small letter, thanksgiving is mentioned in different contexts, in different ways. That's significant when it occurs so much. What we're to do is we're to be thankful people for all that God has done for us and through for who Christ is. And so that's our purpose today. The 6 of the 7 times in this passage, there's one particular word that's used. It's repeated 6 times out of the 7. And it's how we translate the word thanksgiving. And it means to express gratitude for benefits or blessings. To express gratitude for benefits or blessings. And we are a people, I'm speaking specifically here at Findlay Evangelical Free Church, who have been blessed by God. And we ought to come back with gratitude and express that back to him, saying, thank you, Lord, for all that you have provided and for who you are. And so that's our purpose today. We're going to focus on celebrating Jesus, and we're going to look at three truths about celebrating Jesus. At the very end of our message today, we're going to have a time of prayer, of thanksgiving, and so let's dig into a review of what we've learned. First of all, we're to celebrate Jesus through prayer, through singing, and through our lifestyle. Let's talk about prayer first of all. Prayer is, just to put it in simple terms, speaking with God. The term in the Bible means to make requests of God. And there's all kinds of different prayers. You can ask for things, you can express needs, you can confess, you can give thanks. There's all types of different ways to pray. Specifically, we're talking about Thanksgiving today. But prayer is speaking with God. We saw this in chapter 1, verse 3, also in chapter 4, verse 2. We give thanks to God for you in our prayers. Devote yourselves to prayer, being thankful when you pray. Pastor Dewey, last week, he urged upon us, out of chapter 4, that we are to be people who are devoted to prayer. This ought to mark our lifestyle, that we be people who pray. And I wrote this little thought down, that thanksgiving is a dialect of prayer. If you think of prayer as a language, this is my language I use to God. Thanksgiving is a dialect of prayer. It's a portion of prayer. It's a nuance of prayer. And so I wrote this question down. Do you and I consistently thank God in our prayers for who he is and for what he has done for us and what he's done for us through Christ and what he supplies for us? Are we thanking God? I was reminded this week of the story in the Bible that Jesus, when Jesus healed the 10 lepers. Are you familiar with that? When there were 10 lepers who needed to be healed, Jesus healed them as they were going to the temple. How many returned to say thank you? One, right? So only 10% came back to say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. I've suffered all my life with this. And they did, only one recognized the healer, and he gave thanks. And we ought to be like that one leper. Always remember the story of the leper who came back and said, thank you. So when we pray for something, and the prayer is answered, we ought to be very quick to say, oh yeah, I prayed about this. Thank you, God, for hearing and considering and caring for my request and actually coming through and saying to me, yes, no, wait, whatever the answer in prayer is. And so we ought to be people who give thanks through prayer. Also, we give thanks and we celebrate through singing. Now, some of you might not consider your voices as very celebratory, but the Bible never says you have to be good at singing. It just says, shout joyfully unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise, right? And so in verse 16, we were told of chapter 3, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, using these different mediums, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All right, if you want to put it in two categories, traditional and contemporary music, if you want to put it that way. Using hymns, using psalms right out of the Bible. Spiritual songs, I think that falls into the category in the Bible of sing a new song unto the Lord. And so it's wonderful that people are producing music these days which express thanks to God. Because when we think of traditional music, well, that was new music at one point in time frame, right? Sing a new song unto the Lord. And so we express our thanks through singing and worship. So the Bible clearly presents singing as one expression of worship to God. We see it in the Old Testament at the temple. I think of Nehemiah when the people rebuilt the wall and he was bringing people back to devotion to God. They formed a big choir. There was a big celebration. They expressed it through singing. And so theological truths are written in poetic form, lyrically, and then they're set to music so that we, who are spring-loaded to worship, to use Pastor Mike Hanafy's phrase, can express our worship to God. We can say thanks to him through singing. And I said it earlier, but I am truly thankful for our worship team, who, whether they're behind the scenes in the tech booth or they're up front leading us and singing on various weeks, thank you for leading us in worship, because part of a healthy, growing Christian New Testament church is that we sing to the Lord. And so we appreciate the way that they lead us in that. So prayer, singing. Another way to celebrate the Lord is through our lifestyle. Chapter 3, verse 15 says, be thankful. It's a command. And if we were to literally translate it, we would say something like, be becoming thankful, or keep becoming thankful. It's this ongoing, increasing, kind of like compound interest. Start small, but your thankfulness should grow and grow and grow as it compiles upon on top of each other. Now, this week, the Cleveland Cavaliers are playing for the NBA championship. Starts Thursday, all right? And so I hope that LeBron James and the team can bring home a championship. If you were if you had the opportunity to go to a game there in Cleveland, during that series, what you're going to see on the big Jumbotron in the middle of the arena is they're going to say, "Make some noise," right? That'll flash up on the screen. And then there'll be this noise-o-meter that comes up on the screen. You ever been to a game when they do that? And so the crowd gets really loud. They're clapping and stomping and shouting to try to make that noise-o-meter slam over to the right to try to get behind the team cheering on your team. Wondering what the Cleveland Cavaliers have to do with Jesus. Well, let me tell you. The thank-o-meter of our lives should have the needle slammed over to the right pretty much at all times. And so we ought to be people who express thanks on a continual basis, just like you're at the arena cheering on the team. And so the thank-o-meter of our lives can increasingly be moved over to the right. And we do that through how we live our lives. Even if we're not expressing it through verbally, how we live our lives can express thanks to God. We learn also in Colossians 3:17 that whatever we do, we're to do it in a way that gives thanks to God the Father. I picture thanksgiving in our hearts as a faucet. You know, you got the faucet in your hearts, in the basin of your heart. This faucet is pouring out thanksgiving, and then the basin of your heart overflows and it comes out of your mouth. So the faucet of thanksgiving in our heart should just be pouring, 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 so that it overflows out into our lives. And how we live our lives, we can express thanks to God. So what that means is that my mind, my mouth, my appetites, my hands, my feet need to respond in a way that glorifies God and shows Him I'm thankful for His work in my life. And so an ever-increasing obedient life is a way that you can express thanks to God. I'm thankful for what you've done, and I want to respond by honoring you with my life. So we're to celebrate Jesus through those three particular ways. Let's talk about this now. We're to celebrate Jesus and all He has done for us. First of all, we're to celebrate truth. One of the things that you get from the book of Colossians is the truth of who Jesus is. Specifically, chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, which speaks of Jesus being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, and on down the line. These high theological truths about Christ. If you're into big words, Colossians is known for a high Christology, meaning high teaching, lofty teaching about of Jesus Christ. And so that's what it's most known for. So the purpose of this New Testament letter is to provide us with the truth of the character and the work of Jesus Christ. In Paul's day, in the time of the Colossians, as well as through century after century, there's been false teachers. And so he was writing to say, no, this is the truth, and you're to use this truth to then discern what should be accepted and what should be rejected. And we learn that together. Specifically, we learned about the absolute supremacy and sufficiency of Jesus in His divinity as Creator, as Head of the Church, as our Rescuer, as our Redeemer, as our Reconciler, and as our Victor over death. Jesus is the champion of heaven, amen? He's the champion of heaven. He has defeated our ultimate enemy, death. And so that in the end we'll say, where, O death, is thy victory? Where is your sting? It's gone. Because Jesus has triumphed and will ultimately triumph over death until it is completely eradicated from our experience. And so we learned a Bible verse, didn't we, on how to discern between what is true doctrine and erroneous doctrine. So let's read this together, and then you know what's coming on the second slide, don't you? Okay, so study hard, cram it in there. Let's read it together, Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. All right, church, let's give it our best shot, okay? Here we go, Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. All right, there you go. So now you have a summary verse in Colossians to tell us, okay, here's what's true, here's what's not true. All right, so celebrating truth, celebrating salvation. Chapter 1, verse 11 through 12 says that we should joyously give thanks to the Father who has qualified us. The assumption was, or the truth was, we were disqualified, but he qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, which is heaven. We have the gift of eternal life, and so we ought to celebrate salvation in Christ. Colossians 1, 20 through 22 tells us this, that God, through Christ, I'm going to find it in my Bible here, was reconciling all things to himself, or reconciled all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through Christ, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind and engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. So at one time we were enemies of God, hostile to God, but now by faith in Jesus Christ, we're known as holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Wow. What relief, what release from the weight of guilt and guilty of an evil conscience before God. But now I've been set free because of what Christ has done. So we celebrate salvation. This is why the message of Jesus is called good news. That hell-bound sinners can be acquitted of their crimes and brought into everlasting blessedness in the presence of God. This is why it's good news. And so if you're here this morning and you've not been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, we urge upon you that you would be. Call out to him by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You need him for your salvation. And not only do we need him, but he blesses us starting right now upon faith in Christ. And so we ask you, would you trust in Jesus? Call out to him by faith in your heart. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I want to walk in your ways. And by Christ alone, he will rescue you. If you have more questions about that, please do not hesitate to ask. It's the most important question of your life that you need to get answered, and it needs to happen today. So celebrate salvation in Christ. Also celebrating my identity. I'll just make this a quick point, but you'll see here the list of our identity in Christ. You see all these different Bible passages. You can go to the next slide, please. And other books of the Bible are brought into this, but Colossians is rich with our identity in Christ, crucified with Christ. I've died with Christ. I've been completely forgiven of all my sins in Christ. That's Colossians 2. I've been buried with Christ. I've been raised with Christ. I've been made alive together with Christ. I've been seated with Christ in heaven. I've been hidden with Christ. I will be revealed with Christ. If you're having a bummer of a day, just recite those over and over again. If you're in Christ, it'll fill you full of the encouragement of the Holy Spirit because of union with Jesus Christ. What's true of him is true of you if you've trusted him. Because when God sees you, he no longer sees the sinful self. He sees that you've been bought by Christ's righteousness. In church, we have very much to celebrate about our identity in Jesus. And then fourthly, celebrate spiritual growth. Chapter 2, verse 7 says that we've been firmly rooted and we're now being built up in him, established in our faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. In this passage, having been firmly rooted is a past completed action. Boom, taken care of, don't worry about it anymore. You've been rooted in Christ. You're being built up and you are established in your faith, couldn't find it in my notes. Established in your faith, built up in your faith. These are passive words, meaning that God is building you up. God is establishing you in your faith. And then our response is, we overflow with gratitude. So when you come to the point in your life where you understand that salvation is all of God, and even your sanctification, your growth in Christ, is all of God, and you just cooperate with him instead of trying to control everything, it's freeing. God, you rule my life. You lead my life. That's where we need to get to. And so spiritual growth is all of Christ also. I follow his lead in my life, increasingly surrendering more and more of myself to him. And we can celebrate the spiritual growth that God gives us. A thankful attitude is an indicator of a growing Christian. And so are we thankful people celebrating Jesus as our all in all? And that's what we learned from the book of Colossians. Now, specifically, we're going to celebrate what Jesus is doing here at Findlay Evangelical Free Church. And I've listed here 8 items that we're going to walk through and celebrate together. And so I hope that you're ultra encouraged by this. All right, let's talk about, first of all, in the area of evangelism here at Findlay Evangelical Free Church. Now, we hear stories all the time of people who are sharing the gospel. We even have a class that's being taught right now during our second service in the Owls community group about evangelism, sharing the gospel. People are out sharing the gospel. You have concern for your neighbors and your family members. We have prayer requests on our blue pads. Please pray for so-and-so that they would come to know Christ. And so I love the evangelistic temperature here is rising, and I hope that it will continue to rise. In the last 2 years, we can account for about 25 people who've made professions of faith in Jesus Christ. Kids, youth, adults. We'd love to see that number continue to rise, but we also give thanks for those 25 who've trusted in Jesus. And who knows how many others there are. Sometimes people remain silent at the very beginning about when they received Christ. But we want to see those people walking with Jesus. Now, I was very encouraged by this. In the last 5 years, we've had 76 baptisms at our church. I think that's fantastic. And how many of you, you know, that's kind of a dumb rhetorical question, but I know that we were all encouraged by the testimonies when people get up here and say, this is how I came to know Christ in various ways. Some were wayward, some were raised in Christian homes and are just being obedient here in this act of faith. But you hear these stories of transformation and people saying, I don't care who knows it. I want the whole world to know that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And baptism is a symbol of someone coming to Christ and entering into the Christian life. And so we celebrate that. And so we want to give thanks for what God is doing as we share the gospel. Because here's a little tip, is that the power is in the gospel itself and not necessarily in the gospel giver. You know that? The power is in the seed of the gospel. So we just need to go out and sow the seed, and God will do the work as he works in people's lives. All right, how about the area of missions? I'm going to talk about going and giving. In the last 3 years, we've had 83 individuals who've gone on short-term mission trips. Places like Haiti and Honduras, Kosovo, Morocco, Mexico. Another 20 youth and 10 adults are going down to the Dominican Republic this July as part of our youth group trip. They're doing some medical work, doing some work with children and various things. Like you know, on mission trips, you just do whatever you're told to do on the spot. You got to be flexible. And so we give thanks to that. These are people who have understood Christ's command in Matthew 28:19 to go and make disciples of all nations. All right, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In all these different regions, we need to preach the gospel. So that's the going, and that's going to increase. Giving. We have about 30 missionaries and missions ministries that we support through our missions budget. And so that's been increasing over the years also. By the way, if you're someone who is going on a mission trip, there's a possibility of funding available for you through our missions planning team. They've set aside money for people from within our church who are going on mission trips. And what you do is just write a letter to the missions planning team, and you can turn it in here to the church office and just say, here's where I'm going, here's my need, here's what I'll be doing, and then they'll consider that request. And so that's available for all of us who go on mission trips. Now, here's something that's really neat, okay? This, you'll be encouraged by this as we celebrate God's work. The 2009-2010 budget of missions at our church was $46,900. That represented 7% of our budget. For this year, 2014-2015, the budget year giving is projected to be $202,000, which is up to 18% of our overall budget. That's wonderful. What that means is we're putting financial backing behind people who are going to spread the gospel and those who are doing discipleship out in the mission field across the world. I'm very encouraged by that. Missions team has been instructed, and they've been following through on this, of putting increasing dollars behind missionaries going to unreached people groups. And so we've taken on missionaries from Vietnam, Indonesia, and other requests that come along. And so that's exciting too. I think of another exciting thing. You getting excited? Isn't this celebratory? Our missions giving projects at Christmas time. Let's walk through those. In 2011, our church gave $31,000 to help fund 31 Jesus wells in India. And that was fantastic. Our goal was 11, and 31,000 came in. It's about $1,000 a well. That was incredible how the church responded to that. This isn't just clean water. It is, which is incredibly important. for the health effect. Imagine if your children didn't have clean water. You didn't have clean water. But it's people being introduced to Jesus Christ through the churches, all these things. You've heard it before, but it's wonderful. 2012, we gave towards a local project, the city mission. About $34,500 was given towards that to help physical and spiritual needs. The city mission is beginning their building project now. They're breaking ground and tearing down some things downtown. And so a portion of our money that we gave towards that is going towards this new building project. So that's exciting right here in Findlay. 2013, we did radios for Haiti. Another $31,200 was given towards that. A neat thing is that we got to distribute some of those radios, a few of us who went down on a couple of the trips. And so, actually, I took part in this particular picture. I was standing off to the side, but he was explaining to her how these gospel radios work. Let me share this story with you. We talked to Kate and Storley Michelle, who are the missionaries we partner with on this, and Kate mentioned this story, that in one of the villages, a pastor had a bunch of these radios that he was giving out. Across the street from the pastor lived a witch doctor, because Haiti's big into voodoo and all this syncretism and everything. And so the witch doctor knew that the soccer scores came on the radio every day at 12:30. And so he and the pastor were friends. He said, "Can I have one of those radios?" And so what he would do, he'd listen to the soccer scores at 12:30, and he'd turn it off at 1 o'clock. But you know what happened? Eventually, he leaves the radio on. There's a gospel program, gospel proclamation program, at 1 o'clock. He begins to listen to it. He receives Jesus Christ as his Savior, and now he's leading other people to Christ. So this isn't just a radio so that we can listen to tunes. This is gospel proclamation in a society that's heavily illiterate. And on those gospel radios is a New Testament that they can play in Creole and listen to the word. So it's an evangelism and discipleship tool. And so that's what you have given towards, church, investing in people's lives eternally. Then in 2014, we did the Restore Church project. $43,000. We even were able to send people up to put time in helping restore the building there, the post office. I contacted Pastor Mike and Peter this week, and they sent this picture of some of the progress on their building. So if you can go to the next one. So there's studs going up. Stuff is happening there, and we were able to partner with them towards that. So I said, "Hey, Mike, send me some pictures so I can show the people here at E3 that, you know, what's going on with part of the gift that we gave." And so we give thanks to God for that. Now, another neat thing is a men's group in our church raised $12,000, $11,000 to go towards a church building, and then another $1,000 to go towards a Jesus well. And so there's a church building in Assam, India, which is the far east of India, that people at E3 gave towards. And so that is fantastic, as well as the other 31 wells that we all gave towards. And so this is really making a difference in eternity. I imagine us being in heaven, and an Indian person comes up to us and says, "Were you one who gave towards that well?" And we hear the stories of how they came to Christ through a pastor, through the church, or through something, and it's an investment of eternity. So a grand total of all these projects is $153,087. This is apart from the regular missions giving each year. And so this is not touting numbers, et cetera, et cetera. This is God working through us to get on his agenda to back what he's doing in the world, and that takes finances in many cases. Oh, and one more thing. As a result of Danny Puños being here back in April, when he presented the Bridge of Hope Schools, 31 children have been sponsored as a result of him just being here at E3. And so you don't understand what that means. It's a meal, it's a uniform, it's an education for a brighter future, it's them hearing of Jesus, and families changed for Christ. And so those 31 new children that are sponsored through individuals in our church makes an impact in eternity, and we celebrate that. Now here at our church, I talk about discipleship. We're dreaming and praying and planning for ways to help our children, our youth, our adults, our worship ministries, our outreach ministries to be rooted deep and reaching wide in order to glorify Christ. Mike Holmes, who's our children's ministry director, mentioned that since the beginning of the year, we've been able to minister to 230 kids since the beginning of the year, individual kids who have come through here. That's incredible. Pastor Scott said in our youth group that we minister to about 70 to 80 teens per Sunday as people are coming. Many come regularly, some come in and out, and that's wonderful. Here at our church, we've had 94 new members, people who have taken that step towards formal membership in the last 5 years. That's 94 new members. That's incredible. God is bringing people on board so that we can all work together for Christ. And we hear stories of how people are growing in their obedience and their service to Christ. We're growing in prayer. We're growing in our Bible intake and giving our lives more fully over to Christ. And so we give thanks to God for what's going on here, spiritual growth-wise. Let's talk about our leadership just here briefly. In the last few years, we've had the additions of Pastor Dan, Pastor Scott, Pastor Dewey. We've brought on Mike Holmes, our children's ministry director, Jill Elliott, our preschool ministry director, as well as Pastor Dave's new role of congregational care. We've got a unified elder board. We've got a unified elder team, or a deacon team, and this has been a tremendous blessing. So we ought to give God thanks for the leadership he's brought us, as well as the administrative assistants, and Alvin and Gary also, who do the custodian. We've got good people around here who love the Lord and who serve him. We give thanks for that. Now let's talk about giving. I want to share this one example, and this is giving in general. In our church used to have a loan for the building as well as for the parking lot in the past. In 3.5 years, we were blessed to have paid off our building and parking lot loans of, let's throw the number up there, 3.5 years. God blessed the church, and we were able to pay off $709,546. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord for that. And what that means is we can then free that money up to give towards missions and to add leadership and more ministry stuff so that we can impact people's lives. And so that's a huge, huge, huge blessing. And we give thanks to God for that. We've been able to save for the renovations that are currently underway and wrapping up. And our parking lot is underway, so we're thankful for that. I don't say that. We got to move on, time-wise. Okay, future, looking to the future. We're celebrating what God is doing here. We're growing, we're thankful for that. We're going to go to 3 services on September 13th. And this isn't just about growth management, it's about reaching new people. And so we all have a hand in this. Who can we invite to one of these services or one of these ministries? How can we serve in order to welcome new people, in order to make room for more people and to spread the love of Christ to them? Think missionally about this. Think about, I can make an impact right here in Findlay by serving, by inviting. I anticipate a greater push for deeper prayer, deeper discipleship, and deeper outreach or greater outreach as we reach wide here at the church and in our community. And lastly, I want to talk about facilities. Now, we have some before and after pictures. If you've seen the renovations going on here. So let's show the first before picture of the lobby. Can you believe our lobby used to look like that? 3 offices up front, and it served its time very well. But let's show the after. So now it's wide open, more fellowship space so we can sit around, talk, and fellowship with each other, pray for each other, encourage each other. And so that's been a blessing. Let's move on to the next area, the lobby. Gary and Scott are packing some things up there. And now show the next picture, the after. So it's brighter. Again, more space for us to fellowship together. You don't have to just kind of squeeze through the line to get where you need to go. And then let's show the worship center. Before, this thing was kind of stripped down. And then the after is, well, just kind of look around. That's the after. You can see it in front of you. A couple of things left to do here. Our new chairs are on the way. A couple of little things to finish up. But we're so thankful for this because it allows us to minister to people. I want to say thank you to those who are involved, especially in leadership and organizing these changes and bringing this project to fruition. So you know who you are. Thank you for your work. Now, the vision for all of this is this. As has been the history of our church, our modest facilities are to be used to minister to people. We have not designed a museum or a country club. The church is to be a Holy Spirit hospital where broken, hurting people can come in and be ministered to and loved and healed. I think of the scripture about Jesus that a bruised reed he will not break off and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. The compassion of Jesus Christ needs to flow through this place. And hospitals are messy. They get messy. And so the church is a messy place where people can be loved and nurtured back to Christ. And so I know that's our attitude. I just wanted to say it again that attitude would continue. And we're so thankful for what God has done here. Now, one neat thing, I won't do too much of it, but this week I found this in Tracy Stump's mailbox. This is celebrating the vision from 1993. And part of this was, you know, we're growing, we have envisioned a new building, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, we're living the vision, and this is answered prayer of the founding fathers of the church. And so how much more ought we to continue to build upon this foundation for the future? If they hadn't made changes back, you know, however many years ago that is, we wouldn't be here and experience the love of Christ. And so keep that attitude as we think about going forward in the name of Jesus. Well, I've asked a couple of men to come forward. We're going to pray and give thanks in prayer. So Dave Hughes, Mike Roberts, you guys come on up on stage, and I'm going to meet you here in just a minute here. So as you can see, church, we have many reasons to celebrate our Savior Jesus Christ for who he is and for what he's done for us and among us. Let's have the worship team come on up too. And you guys go on up there, grab a microphone, and I'm going to join you. I've asked Mike Roberts to give thanks for the salvation we have in Christ. I've asked Dave Hughes to give thanks for our building and the missions, and I'm going to pray also. I will mention that this is Dave and Robin Hughes' last Sunday here at our church. They're going to be moving down to Florida, so it's an honor to have you here praying for us as being so much involved in the building too. So I'll join you up there, and let's pray. Church, if you would pray with us. And so Mike, why don't you go ahead, please, first.
Just before I pray, when Pastor asked me to do this, there was a verse that popped into my mind, and it's a familiar verse, and it's found in Philippians 4:19, and most of us can quote that verse. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But that's the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippians, saying that they were going to be blessed, and the reason they were going to be blessed was because they gave to his needs. You know, we went all through the numbers that we just went through. We're a giving church. And the reason God blesses this ministry is because we are a giving church. We're giving back. You know, and that's the whole key to you can't outgive God. So let's pray and give thanks. Father, we do praise and thank you for this time that we have to celebrate what you're doing amongst our midst. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has provided salvation free for each and every one that wants to receive it. And Lord, that's our prayer. That's what we want these facilities to be used for, is for seeing people come to know Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Savior. We thank you for the word that's been preached each and every Sunday, and how it's the discipleship programs that are starting, Father, to see people come into a deeper relationship with you. Father, we just praise and thank you for that. And Lord, this building, as Pastor said, is not a monument, but we want to use it to bring honor and glory to you. Father, it's just one of many here in Findlay, but God, we just pray that you'd continue to bless us. We thank you for supplying all our needs here, Father. We can see some physical needs, but Lord, we don't know the spiritual needs that have been met, and we just praise and thank you for those. God, we can't outgive you. And we want to tell you that we love you, and we thank you for all that you're doing here at this church, and we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Okay. I think of Psalm 119:105. The Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's been very rewarding for Robin and I to see the growth in the church, not only the numbers, because it's not about the numbers, like Pastor said. It's about relationships and those drawing closer to Christ. But we also, in the early days, when we first came here, we were a little shocked that the mission budget was as low as it was, but it's been real rewarding. We chose to get involved. We said, well, let's get involved, and let's see if we can help be a part of what the Lord has for the church. So the growth in the missions work and the project, I was blessed to be a part of, and all the people that were a part of that. Like the pastor said, we thank you for that. But let's just give thanks again for the missions work at the church, the past, but even more excitingly, what's in the future and what the Lord has in store for you as you continue to grow and press that envelope. And then let's pray for the facility and its purpose. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. The work that you've done, the people and relationships throughout the world that this church has been a part of. One day we'll be with you and we'll know and understand some more details of things that we haven't been revealed to us, that our work, our money, and our passion and our love for you has done. Thank you for the mission work of this church, and continue to press them forward as the elders and the leadership continue to focus on you. Also, Lord, we thank you for the church project, the contractors, FFE team, furniture, fixtures, and equipment, and all the hard work and the leaders and the workers and the safety of the workers as we continue with the parking lot. Keep them safe, and may the outcome be one that would bless you. But not that the assets be something that we're proud of, but they're used to continue your kingdom. And we give you all the thanks and ask for your forgiveness where we failed. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
And last, Lord, we thank you for those who have trusted you as Savior. We pray that more would be won to Christ through the Christians in this town as well as the Christians in this church. And we love you. We pray for continued spiritual growth, that we'd be rooted in you, being built up and established in the faith as you work in us through your word, through prayer, and the other means that you've given for us to follow you. We love you, and we thank you to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.